Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Friday, the 30th of August, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Yesterday, I went to bed with sports on my mind. Payments hit the stage at USA Powerlifting Raw Nationals. Vocab earns bronze medal in international competition. Team Bahamas at World Athletics Under 20 Championships. Bernie Butler's swim attracts hundreds despite weather. Bahamas secures back-to-back Goodwill Games victory. Saunders shines at the Goodwill Swimming Championships. Gold for Munnings. The Bahamas shines at Naples Elite Cup. Flamingo Women's Golf Club hosts a summer afternoon tea time event. Brackets release for Battle for Atlantis. Jones Liberty knock off the Mercury. Lightburn shines in Vancouver. Wide receiver strong wave by the Panthers. Wade Watson, the second annual Wade Watson Esports Championships, being hosted in conjunction with the Bahamas Esports Federation. I went to bed with all of that news on my standings, but I woke up this morning with BPL on my mind. When I say that, what I mean is, have you ever been startled, jostled out of your sleep by the sound of an angry god throwing garbage back down to the earth? That's what it sounded like when I woke up this morning. Turns out God may be angry, but he cares not enough about me to show it in that way. It was BPL, or at least its infrastructure. And so I make this announcement to the staff at BPL, the community known as Glengariff Garden Subdivision. Parts therein experienced a massive power event this morning where multiple sets of lines, in particular at the intersection of Treasure Lane and Teach Street, were sparking and arcing. And I say this with all seriousness and sincerity. I got a small glimpse of what it must be like to live in a war zone. Their BPL, Glengariff Garden Subdivision, is in desperate need of your attention. Just to note, please don't bring anybody from water and sewage. They know why I said that. Also, BTC. BTC must be enjoying life right now. There's no real attention on them except for some concern around pay increases. But in terms of customer service, they must be having a wonderful time watching PPL while they tinker down the same road they've been heading for several years now. Dear BTC, unfortunately, BPL has exposed that many of your power banks are non-functioning. Power bank is the thing that BTC gives you so that you can continue to use your communication services when BPL goes down. Dear BTC, please come to our residence and replace our power bank, please, and thank you. Also, on my way to work this morning, I had to detour off of Market Street. There's a large tree downed in the road. I was on my way to Chapel Street. I was on my way to Chapel Street, and I had to detour two corners before Chapel Street. There's a downed tree in the road. So if you were trying to access Market Street from, is that Gibbs Corner, coming over from the east side, you may need to access Market Street or further south so that you can cross over to Blue Hill Road. If you are aware of downed trees and limbs, or if you have experienced a power outage or, like us, an incident, which is just more than just the power going off, call the show and let us know. We're going to run like an open line today. The numbers to call, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259. That's 325-4259. And 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. Toll free for Family Island residents. Please feel encouraged to call in, particularly Family Island residents. We're also going through what's in the news today. Before we get to the headlines, I want to raise something. Yesterday, I saw a video produced by ZNS. It's a small, like, I guess, program, Something Bites. And the caption of the video was, "Grab your notebooks and mimosas." But the host of the video was wearing what looked like a school uniform, a high school. I paused just in case you didn't catch what the problem is. The video is captioned, "Grab your notebooks and mimosas," and the host is wearing what appears to be, what looks like, it could be, even if not the uniform of a local school, the host is wearing what appears to be a high school uniform. I just wanted to remind people that no, 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 no. You can't do anything that purports to mix students with alcohol, with brunch, with a good time. Students don't have brunch. People who drink alcohol have brunch. Children go wherever their parents go. They don't have brunch. I think it was an oversight, and I hope that it never occurs again. Because the school results say only 7% of the people got what, C and above on all of their results. We can't have that. While we're talking about school uniforms, I'm asking if somebody can confirm or deny this rumor. And I use the word rumor because it could only be a rumor. It could not be based in fact and truth, and surely it cannot be based in law or policy. But someone brought to my attention yesterday a rumor going around that students at Doris Johnson Senior High have a new uniform policy. Now, earlier this summer, I saw a memo or a note floating around social media indicating some of the uniform rules at a particular high school. This rumor, though, stated that students who have not or will not qualify for graduation are being made to embroider a symbol on their uniform that indicates that they will not qualify or have not for graduation this year. See, I would have dismissed this as a rumor entirely. I wouldn't even have taken it on, because to make somebody embroider a symbol on their clothing to indicate a particular status or class is something that we last saw under a Nazi regime, where they made homosexuals and disabled people and other categories of undesirables wear patches to indicate exactly which undesirable group they belong to. Like I said, this thing must be a rumor, but I think we have an obligation to confirm after seeing that nobody at ZNS thought that it was inappropriate to produce and disseminate an educational video being hosted by a person in a school uniform with the caption, "Grab your notebooks and mimosas." It has competition, they can't afford to drop the ball. Dear Texter, let me tell you where we are living now. Yes, they do have competition. Two other competitors in the market. The question is, does everyone have the resources to be able to access one or more of the competitors? And here's what I mean. Where I live, if you want to function like a regular professional adult, you need at least two of the three service providers available to you in your home. If you want to work from home, engage in remote work, if you operate a business that attracts and has investors, and so you have real timelines that cannot be shifted, right? That's not a PL, a Perry Christie minute. Foreign investors have no tolerance for local cultural characteristics. You must have two or three of the options available. But there's another accessibility issue. Are all three service providers available in your jurisdiction, in the area you live in? For instance, today, those who may have migrated to a satellite-driven service may experience significant, severe, or consistent disruption in service due to the weather. May. Imagine now if you were also relying on one of the local alternatives, but they are also down. This is a reality for many Bahamians. Many other Bahamians may say, man, there's people problems. You could afford two or three service providers, and what people are saying is, my business cannot afford to operate without two or three service providers. Again, the numbers to call this morning, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. Toll free for the Family Islands. Text line as always, 422-GR96. 422-4796. Let's look at the headlines in today's papers. BPL to get new chairman. Minister reveals some board changes. Another text, Mitchell says he doesn't think there's appetite for campaign finance reform. In today's Tribune, no need for Valley Boys to change name to participate. Mitchell downplays campaign finance laws. And let's start with this one in today's Tribune. Without a home, 5 years later, Abaconians in trailers since Dorian facing eviction by October. I'm glad to see this story in today's paper. Sunday marks the 5th anniversary of the landfall of the tragic, the horrendous storm Dorian. an Abaco resident asked me to make an announcement to the general public that Abaco residents will be holding their annual memorial to commemorate the lives of loved ones lost during Hurricane Dorian. So let's read from this story in the Tribune. And Texas, we're going to get to campaign finance reform in a second. Abaconians in trailers since Dorian facing eviction by October. Dozens of Abaco residents in government trailers. Hold on, so people in government trailers are facing eviction by October? Okay. Dozens of Abaco residents in government trailers meant as temporary housing after Hurricane Dorian are facing eviction by the end of October, including a struggling mother of five who is still searching for a permanent home. The notice comes as the country prepares to mark the fifth anniversary of Hurricane Dorian, the deadly Category 5 storm that killed more than 70 people and displaced hundreds. I like the broadness of that statement because 270 people is definitely more than 70 people. 1,000 people is definitely... They accuse you of knowingly and intentionally telling an untruth, because surely 1,000 people is more than 70 people. Machanti Stewart, 59, expressed uncertainty about where her family will go. She said nearly 60 people, including some government workers, face a similar situation. Okay, so hold on. I'm stunned now. So you're saying that this story is telling me that people who survived Dorian and government workers are facing eviction from trailers owned by the government? She said officials informed them during a meeting that they must move by October 31st. I see your text. I'm going to get to it in a second. The trailers located next to the Marsh Harbor government complex were meant to provide temporary housing for those displaced by Dorian in 2019. Central and South Abaco MP John Pinder could not say the exact number of people still living in the 50 trailers, but confirmed yesterday that October 31st is the deadline for residents to vacate. So you know when they need to be out, but you couldn't tell the reporters how many people are living there? Are you actually carrying out proper oversight on this project, sir? You're asking the wrong person. Maybe we should ask the PM of Abaco. Again, Central and South Abaco MP John Pinder could not say the exact number of people still living in the 50 trailers, but confirmed yesterday that October 31st is the deadline for residents to vacate. So you mean you couldn't go to the Ministry of Education and determine how many students registered in the Abaco schools also indicated that they were living in one of these trailers? He said the trailers were never intended for long-term use and have become problematic, citing health and safety concerns due to mold and septic tank issues. Quote, the majority of these trailers are not fit for living or any other use, close quotes, he said. Quote, they're leaking with holes in the floors and have been used well beyond their lifespan, close quotes. He also raised concerns about the trailer's inability to withstand storm conditions, saying, quote, if a tropical storm comes by, there's going to be collateral damage to everything else that's been newly built. They will fly and they will move, close quotes. He said some trailers have been rented out by their original occupants and are allegedly being used for other illegal activities. He said officials are planning to find alternative housing for vulnerable residents before the October deadline. It is now August 30th, leaving you approximately 1 month to, quote, find alternative housing for vulnerable residents, close quotes. What have you been doing for 5 years? And before anyone says, well, they're in the PR 2021, Mr. John Pinder has been on the ground in Abaco for a significant amount of time. And I imagine it was his track record from Dorian leading up to the election that garnered the support that he got in the election. I continue from the article. Quote, the trailers have had free power, free water, and have been a free place to stay for almost 5 years. He said, adding that the homes will be dismantled and disposed of once residents move out. Dear sir, if within 5 years you could not produce a reasonable, adequate housing strategy to rehouse, to resettle displaced residents, why do you think these vulnerable people were able to develop their own housing strategy in the same amount of time? You have the resources of the entire government plus the PM of Abaco to help you, sir. However, Ms. Stewart wants the government to allow residents to relocate the trailers until a permanent housing solution. Nearly 2 years ago, she, her two daughters, and her granddaughter moved into a government trailer after returning to Abaco following Hurricane Dorian. Quote, I asked about the trailer and if we can carry the trailer to our property, but they said no. Close quote, she said. She added that renting is not an option for the family of four because it is too costly. To be honest with you, in a few short years, living in Abaco will not be an option for the vast majority of Abaco residents. In addition to caring for her young daughter and granddaughter, Ms. Stewart also has an older disabled daughter with financial needs. Good morning, caller.
Morning.
Morning.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. How you doing? Good.
Good. Okay, I think we have to discuss the issue of vulnerability.
Okay, let's talk about it.
And how long a person can choose to remain so and depend on the government. You know, I think, you know, you brought up an issue there, you know, that is kind of under the surface.
Mm-hmm.
These persons are gainfully employed. Okay, because I believe they are in place they are in because they are a part of a huge labor market. You know, and they are producing something, you know, or they wouldn't be in that place.
Okay, so let's look at who these people could be. Are we talking about migrant laborers?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Okay. So
among them, you say there are
government workers.
Watch them, you know, who probably have pensions and.
But I'm actively working. I ain't touching my pension while I'm working.
Okay.
So I'm a government worker. I've been assigned to work in Abaco. I assume the government assigned me a trailer to live in.
Mm-hmm. But previously you like may have been living in a shanty town.
As a government worker.
As a government worker.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have the responsibility of housing like that. Now, what something that hurricane, that awful hurricane, did, it brought upon many persons the responsibility or the thought, how should I be fending for myself?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lord, you know, hopefully there is nothing like Dorian that comes between now and November.
No, now and forever.
No. I'm thinking like the politicians.
Right, in the month.
Short, mm-hmm. You know, short term.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the onus is on the individual not to think short term.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is probably where this discussion needs to go. Because, you know, I don't think it's the government's responsibility entirely to provide. We must have something on our side. You know, if we can do stuff on the weekend and have a good time on the weekend,
mm-hmm.
then we can also do stuff in the week.
I appreciate what you're saying. I also like to reiterate that it appears as if we are spending money that should be invested in collective or individual development on disposable personal experiences.
Yeah.
Right? I appreciate what you're saying. Yep. But let's look at the case of the woman at the center of the story, Ms. Stewart. Mm. The article said that she said she spent $700 a month on a nursing home in Grand Bahama to care for her daughter who suffered a stroke a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
On top of...
See, there are going to be exceptions in all cases, and those must be looked at carefully. But generally speaking, in the words of an old boss I had, you know, there are two ways to spend your money.
Mm-hmm.
You create an investment or you create a bill.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, our lifestyle in this little 21 in all the islands we find ourselves in, we tend to spend money and create bills for ourselves.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Thank you.
Anyway,
thank you very much. I really appreciate your contribution. Pragmatic, realistic, and important advice. No matter what the state's obligations are, we also have an obligation to plan. Even if we can't find the resources necessary to carry out the plan, we need a plan. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, sir. How you do?
Man, I'm doing great. You know, it's not the government's responsibility to do certain things. But like the last caller said, we collect bills, not assets. We collect liabilities. I'll go and buy a 10-year-old or 8-year-old BMW that I know gives trouble and is expensive for maintenance.
Especially here with limited technicians certified to work on those high-end vehicles.
And to make insult to injury, I buy a right-hand drive one.
Mm-hmm.
So, no help from America. But, you know, that comes down to the government having regulation that actually cares about the citizens and helping them to get vehicles that we can get parts for. But that's another story. Today we're talking about how after 50 years and how after the worst...
natural disaster.
Weather event in our country's history.
Mm-hmm.
People living in trailers.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have learned from our very good friends right there in Cuba, how they build four-story walk-ups. No elevator because those things break, and we don't maintain them, and they're light out, and it won't work. So let's just get real. Why have we not built concrete roof, concrete walk-up buildings, multiple of them inland on the higher ground for our people, whether they are here under whatever pretense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me do this now because, you know, the reason it's hard to talk to you on radio is because you have to think of every word to be politically correct, which is so sad. But anyway, for all persons living and were living in Abaco to have had a concrete hurricane-proof structure, no need to run to the church or whatever, right? And why didn't we duplicate this in every island? Why didn't we take that Autec one-story city, the military base in Andres? It's a city, but it's only one story tall, so we could build it. We don't need foreigners to help us. And why didn't we duplicate that city in every one of the major islands, in the capital of those proof, resilient buildings, flat concrete roof that's anchored down? You don't need a hurricane clip because ain't no wood.
Graham.
No termite either. Anyway, you know what?
If they
wanted you to have better, you would have had it, right, Aaron?
That's right. Thank you, Graham.
After 50 years.
I got more callers, but that's such an excellent point you made. I look into that. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Are you still there? Ah, we lost you. Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259 and 242-300-5720. For Family Island residents, it is toll free. Residents in Abaco, if you'd like to call in and share your feelings, with the rest of the Commonwealth in the Bahamas as we walk into the fifth anniversary of Hurricane Dorian. Again, 242-300-5720 is toll-free for Family Island residents, and the text line is 422-GR96. I'm going to stick a pin in that story and go to... Well, let me continue, because I think this article is important. In addition to caring for her young daughter and granddaughter, Ms. Stewart also has an older disabled daughter with financial needs. She said she spent $700 a month on a nursing home in Grand Bahama to care for her daughter, who suffered a stroke a year ago. Quote, the hospital gave her up and said she isn't doing anything. They said she's like a vet, George said. I have to scrap up money right now to pay for this month. Producer, let's get the caller ready. Ms. Stewart, a long-term janitress, said her paycheck is insufficient to make ends meet, and she needs to come to Nassau because of her eyesight. Imagine you got to scrap up money to come to Nassau to make an appointment to be told that it could be a year before you could have your next follow-up appointment. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful, wonderful. Just trying to be certain that I heard what the chairman of the Progressive Labor Party was saying in his statement in regards to campaign finance reform.
Okay.
Did he call all the behemoths nobodies?
You mean...
Check that out, because he said nobody is interested.
Yeah, I heard that part. I want to know who nobody is, because nobody has to be a person.
Exactly.
You know, in France, there's a process for naming your child, and the name has to be checked against, a committee has to approve the name. We found out in the U.S. there's a young football player named DeColis Juan Crawford. Who named their child Nobody Rule?
I think he has a lot of explaining to do, because he just called the whole Bahamas, besides the politicians, nobody.
Yeah.
We are very interested in that.
At this point, all I want to know is, what are you trying to distract us from?
Exactly.
Why you keep riling us up, hoping that we look left? What's going on to the right?
Something's going on, Ms. Green, and they need to get to, we as behaving people need to get to the bottom of this. But this is ridiculous now.
Absolutely. When we get back from the other side of the break, I will. He doesn't think there's appetite for campaign finance law. If y'all keep eating these two and three meats, you ain't gonna have appetite for anything called campaign finance law. We'll be right back. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Don't change that dial from 96.9 FM.
It's time for Guardian Radio and AML's second annual back-to-school snackathon. We are accepting donations at the Register of Solomon's Fresh Market and Cosplay locations in both Nassau and Freeport. And with your donation, you can make a difference to a family and a child going back to school with the gift of snacks. No amount is too small, and each Solomon's Smart Rewards member, consider donating your points. So let's come together and make this school year unforgettable. Donate today and help us make a difference in the lives of children across the Bahamas. Promotion ends September 5th, 2024.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. Maybe we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Attention Bahamas, embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter One. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-0. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're on the clock. Okay, as we get the show started, Guardian front page. Kalina celebrates 125 years. Kalina Insurance Limited, the largest provider of life and health insurance and related financial planning products in the Bahamas, celebrated 125 years during a reception yesterday evening at the event. Ms. Telzina Coakley, who had a decades-long remarkable career in the public service and insurance sector, was honored. Congratulations, Kalina, and thank you for your service, Ms. Coakley. I'm going to go to the text line quickly. Dear Aaron, you are behind the eight ball. Do you know how much party promoters and clubs display flyers what appears to be adults in school uniform? I would leave this one alone. Dear texter, children could do what they want to do. We're talking about ZNS, the country's national broadcasting company. There's a standard that must be upheld. And perhaps the TikTok has taken over ZNS and they've lost their minds temporarily. But I will tell you that in my short 48 years on this planet and in this country, at no time would I have ever imagined that emanating from ZNS, where people used to write, we used to watch the news faithfully and write into the broadcasting corporation to indicate the errors that were made during each broadcast. Not that ZNS. No, sir. Texas goes on to say, you can't tell me you've never been to any party with women wearing scantily clad school uniforms. Only Halloween parties, and only for not long, because I could be honest with you, there is no age I was at where I thought that was appropriate. Aaron, I wish some of these women would exercise personal family planning. Some women have a gaggle of children and give the state the bill by wanting government handouts. It's a little more nuanced than that. Adults make decisions that produce children. Children have no decision in the matter. They don't get to choose who their parents are. They don't get to choose the class that they are born into, the neighborhood that they are born into. None of it. The children have no choice. And while we have irresponsible adults, while we have damaged and dysfunctional adults producing children, the sins of the parents should not fall on the children in this way. I agree. We all, men and women, need to exercise personal responsibility in family planning. And we can say that women can take the extra step to manage their reproductive, sexual and reproductive life and health. Another text, great show as usual. Things could actually be worse. The government could have a nuclear power station to provide electricity. Union strike and all you hear is boom, or because we don't maintain nothing, the nuclear power station could leak and once again all you hear is boom, no more Nassau. Dear Texter, thank you very much for stating that, because it's 2024 and some people are still talking about nuclear power options for the Bahamas. Another text says, campaign finance reform is counterproductive to any political party, so it will never, ever happen. Another text, you can't label a student failure, and I don't know any self-respecting parent putting their child through that humiliation. I don't think we should label students failures either. Is the Bahamas ready for a hurricane? I mean any island, and I mean even the lowest category. We're not ready. We need preparations. And like, it's almost as if they didn't know it was going to be a hurricane season this year. It's like they thought if they didn't pay this year's subscription, they wouldn't get any hurricanes. Texter says, I must congratulate the Chicchanis for hiring the Aaron Green Consulting Group for traffic and parking advice. The Chicchanis have redeveloped the Harbor Bay Shopping Center parking lot by adding so many speed bumps, narrowed the roads, and made them one direction only by driving on the right like in the U.S. The parking lot has become more congested and unsafe. Wait until an emergency vehicle like an ambulance or police vehicle needs to come to the shopping center for an emergency. Then it would be difficult to access the shopping center in a timely and safe manner. What were the Chicchanis thinking? I don't even want to go to that shopping center anymore because of this inconvenience and safety issue. Low period when there was no traffic and it was difficult to navigate. So I can only imagine when the Christmas holidays come around, it will be a nightmare in that shopping center to park and drive through. Can the Aaron Green Consulting Group look into what the Chicchanis have done at Harbor Bay Shopping Center? Also, please check the parking lot at the mall at Marathon. The Chicchanis have gotten rid of the Bahamian bottle bush trees and paved over it. So watch this texter. I think that Harbor Bay redesigned its parking lot in an attempt to moderate driver behavior. For what I thought was a private parking lot, but after seeing the stop signs and the way the signage has been erected in Harbor Bay, even though a lot of it has faded away, it may actually be public access road. But here's the point. Harbor Bay has a number of stop signs in that complex, and I would confidently argue that only 10% of the drivers in that plaza would adhere to the rules. And I talk in good, decent people, rich people, people who could afford to shop in the stores in Harbor Bay. People who have enough sense to get a good job, give them the pleasures of strolling up and down the aisles of Fresh Market. But not enough sense to figure out how stop signs work. I can't tell you the number of elderly people that think that their age is an excuse for them to break the laws, an excuse for them to park in the disabled parking spot, an excuse for them to park their cars along the sidewalk with the clear indicators that no cars are to park or to stand in this space. Another text says, Harbor Bay parking lot is ridiculous and I will no longer go there as much as possible unless I 100% desperately have to. That was a bad move. Imagine a robbery happen or the police trying to catch them. Dear texter, at the risk of offending you, I think that it a desperate attempt to moderate drivers' behaviors who feel like they spend in so much money in the establishments in that plaza that they could do whatever they want once they get in their car. Good morning. The same thing applies to the airport. An accident in the making. One entrance and exit past the terminal. On a particularly bad day, should there be a fire, everyone is a sitting duck. Now, see, here's what I can't imagine. This is a country of 400,000 people, and surely not all of that sits in the capital. But we have countries around us like the DR, Jamaica, with millions of people. And then we could go to the U.S. with millions and millions of people, and still they are able to manage the same infrastructure in a way that Bahamians can't seem to manage. But I tell you why. It's because we're disorganized. Because we don't think the rules. Systems work if people work the system. But systems will not work if people continue to bastardize and break the system by doing whatever they want. Because I have rights and I have money. And you can't tell me what to do. To all the people who are complaining about the infrastructural changes in Harbor Bay, yes, it's frustrating. It's even more frustrating driving with big around and walking around big grown adults that show no respect for humans walking in a parking lot, show no respect for stop signs and people who have the right of way. It must be frustrating. Another text, says, Aaron, wait a minute, when you say extra step, text, I'm not even entertaining you this morning. That's a bunch of madness. and not even entertaining you. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How you do?
All right, all right. I was in and out. I didn't catch the whole show, ma'am, but I heard when you were talking about the eviction.
In Abaco, yes.
My mind ran on the, remember those doom homes that they bought in?
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, can you recall or can you think you can find out exactly how many they brought in, how many they set up, and were they able to evict everyone? Because I can remember a story sometime back where a gentleman or one or two individuals were saying that they were not going to move. Do you know if they ever resolved that situation completely?
I am not aware, but I will take some time this weekend to do that research, eh? And I'll reach out to people in Abaco to see if they could give me some answers.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Green.
Absolutely. Say, Ms. Green, why are you still stuck on the 50th independence expenditure? The first thing is everybody in government should be stuck on it, because how could you proceed to the 51st independence celebration without telling the people how much money you spent on the 50th independence celebration? And how can you justify to me that you don't have the resources to house these people when you had the resources to do all manner of gallivanting, but you don't have the integrity to tell us how much the gallivanting costs? Okay, I got 4 minutes, producer, and I'm going to try and read through some of this article. Mitchell says he doesn't think there's an appetite for campaign finance law. Nassau Guardian, while the Progressive Liberal Party promised ahead of the election to bring about campaign finance legislation, PLP Chairman Fred Mitchell said yesterday that he is of the view that, quote, there is not an appetite, close quotes, for it. Caller, this quote is even better. Like I say, this quote is better than nobody's interested, because I sure there's a nobody rule out there, and we don't know who he is because he ain't interested in us either. But there cannot be an appetite for campaign finance reform when you have two meats and three meats for lunch every day. Quote, I know that people talk about campaign finance reform, he said when asked about whether the Davis administration will bring the promised legislation into Parliament this term. We're going to page 3. Quote, my own personal view is, okay, so you're not giving us your view as the MP for Fox Hill. You're not giving us your view as the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, and you're not giving us your view as the Minister of Foreign Affairs. You're giving us your personal view this time. My quote, my own personal view is there is not appetite for campaign finance reform in this country because neither side can agree on the terms of disclosure in this country, and that is my personal view. So the PLP and the FNM is this country? There's nobody else left? I mean, there's nobody role, and then the rest of us don't exist? I continue. Quote, as for the public policy, that's something which my colleagues in the cabinet will have to decide. As a philosophical point, it's like apple pie. Everybody agrees with campaign finance reform, so I can't say I disagree with it. But the devil is always in the details, of which you will provide none, create none, operate close quotes. Mitchell's last comment seemed to contradict his statement to Organization of American States officials in January, when he said work was, quote, ongoing, close quotes, to develop a legal framework to govern campaign finance practices. Quote, as outlined in the Print for Change election manifesto, the government is committed to campaign finance reform and work is ongoing in development of a legal framework to govern campaign finance, close quotes, he said at the time. Mitchell was responding to the presentation of the OAS Electoral Observer Mission's final report on the 2021 Bahamian general election, which noted that, quote, a lack of campaign finance reporting requirements for candidates and political parties, along with the absence of an authority with supervisory and enforcement functions in this regard, results in an accountability deficiency in the country's electoral system, close quotes. Wait until the OAS Electoral Observer's Mission finds out that they weren't even going to tell us about the report. I bet you I will this weekend go to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs website and find out whether they have posted the report on their website or if it's posted on the Office of the Prime Minister's website or if we can find it anywhere online. But wait till they find out of office. I continue from the article. OAS observers made similar comments after overseeing the Bahamas' 2012 and 2017 general elections. 12 years ago, and 7 years ago. Previous administrations, including the last FNM government, have promised to introduce campaign finance laws, but have failed to do so. On Wednesday, FNM leader Michael Pintard said he's willing to make public the FNM's campaign donors as he challenged Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis to do the same for the PLP. No, we don't want that. What we want you all to do is to create a legal mechanism that makes it mandatory for you to have to expose to the public this information. Quote, let me put it this way, I'm not getting into any games with the leader of the opposition over this, quote, Mitchell said during a press conference. He said, quote, the issue is not who got what donations and what money because there's a system of donations in the country and some of those donations are tied to, you don't know, confidentiality interests. No donations could be tied to... Producer, give me 1 second. I hear you. I understand we are out of time. The issue is not who got what donations and what money, because there is a system of donations in the country, and some of those donations are tied to, you don't know, confidentiality interests. If he wants to do that, that's his business. What is before us is, are you singing a song for those people because you hope for a donation in the future or you've gotten a donation in the past? That's the issue before us. That's the public policy issue. So I'm not engaging in his sleight of hand, smoke and mirrors, and trying to switch the game on me. Close quotes. I wouldn't. That's dangerous, especially while you're currently engaged in your own sleight of hand and smoke and mirrors on us. Somebody texted about $6 million for the igloos. I recall the minutes put out the first press release. My first question was, are igloos suited to tropical climates? I can't believe the entire came without considering the question. Thank you for your patience, producer. Thank you for your calls and your texts. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM and Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. You guys have a great, safe weekend. Oh, BPL, don't forget us in Glengariff Garden Subdivision. Thank you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.